Welcome to the You on the Camino de Santiago podcast, Season 4. This podcast is for and about people getting ready for their first ever pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago in Spain, France, and Portugal. With your host, Camino guide, and longtime pilgrim, Nancy Reynolds of the Camino Experience. It was easier than expected. It was the perfect Camino. That's what today's guest, Judith, had to say about her walk on the Camino Francés. This is Nancy back again with another pilgrim conversation, this time with someone who has already walked the Camino. You may remember Judith from Season 3. I had the chance to talk with her as she was getting ready for her pilgrimage in September 2023. At that time, she shared that most of her circle of friends didn't think she'd be able to do this. But she did it, and you are going to get to hear how it went. What makes a Camino experience perfect? How do you make this journey significant, if that's what you're after? How does it feel to walk into Santiago de Compostela after a long and possibly arduous journey? Let's find out how Judith answered these questions. Before I get to Judith, though, I want to mention that if you are tuning into this podcast for the first time, and if you are getting ready to walk the Camino for the first time, you may want to step back a ways to Season 1, Episode 1, and follow along as we plan and prepare for your pilgrimage step by step. Also, if you are new here and would like to get more Camino tips and tricks, plus news, updates, and special offers delivered right to your inbox, I want to invite you to join my email list. You can do that by following the link in the show notes or by going directly to my website, thecaminoexperience.com. When you join my email list, I immediately send you a copy of my top 10 Camino tips that don't usually show up on the top 10 lists. While you are on my website, be sure to check out the many ways I help first-time pilgrims on the Camino Francés get to their starting point and take their first steps on this life-altering journey. From do-it-yourself to do-it-together, there is something there for everyone. That's thecaminoexperience.com. And let me not forget to say, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're joining us. Okay, let's go ahead and meet Judith. Judith, hi. Thank you so much for being back with me on the podcast.
I'm really happy to be here, Nancy.
Well, I have been so eager to hear what's going on after you walked the Camino and how it all went, especially because I noticed that your calendar's been pretty full doing really amazing, fun, and interesting things, as if the Camino was the start of this new chapter of grand adventure. So I can't wait to hear all about what you've been up to as well.
Yes, it sort of opened the door. There were things that I had wanted to do. Yes, it opened a huge door for adventure.
So. Fantastic. So why don't we start where I always start, and that is to put the pin in the map. And if you would share when you walked and where you started and where you finished and how long you took.
Sure. So I started on September 29th, 2023. I was in Spain for 3 weeks, but I only was on the Camino for 11 days. So I'll start with that. So I started walking on September 29th, 2023, and I walked for 10 days over the course of 11 days till October the 9th. So I walked 5 days, took a rest day, and then walked 5 days. I walked from Sarria to Santiago de Compostela.
Okay. Now, some people listening might think that's a long time for the final 115 kilometers. Would you share or actually remind my listeners why you set it up the way that you did?
Well, for one thing, I'm 78 years old. That's a start. B, I'm really short and I have short legs and I have one-sided balance because of a tumor I had many years ago. And so I walk, I do not walk very fast. There was one point on the Camino when a man walked past me and I realized we were taking steps in exactly the same rhythm and he was going twice as far as I was. And I said to him, you know, your steps are much longer than mine. He said, well, you're walking a full Camino and I'm walking a half Camino. And I said, no, you're walking a full Camino and I'm walking a double Camino.
What made it double? Because it's so slow.
Because I can only go half as far with the step as he could go.
I love that.
So I set it up that way because A, I've never been athletic. I've never done anything very athletic. I always just worked at my desk in my business for 19 hours a day. And so here I am at 78, setting out to do something that's physically challenging. And I wanted to set it up for success as much as I could. And the idea of walking 20 or 30 kilometers a day just didn't seem right to me. I can only walk about, at best, 3 kilometers an hour. So it doesn't count hills and stopping to take pictures and stopping to have a coffee and all of that.
So you're not moving quickly, but you're moving slow and steady.
That's it. Exactly.
Okay.
So that's why I walked half stages, basically.
Okay. Now, I remember when we talked the last time, you had shared that you had talked to people about what you're doing, and there was not a lot of support or belief that you could do this.
Even my partner thought I was going to stop after 3 days.
Uh-huh. So what actually happened? Tell me how it went.
So actually, it was great. I walked as planned. There was no rain. I did not get one blister. I met people along the way. I went along. I had a pretty amazing time. I've had that sort of luck many times in my life. I think God doesn't want me to be too highly tested, you know, with difficulties. So it went really better than I expected. And physically, there were some moments of challenge. That little place where you walk across the stream with the rocks, you know, I was walking with walking poles and for my balance, and I got across three of them, and then there were two or three more, and there was no place on the rocks to put the poles. And someone just reached out and grabbed my arm and pulled me over. You know, there was always someone there to pick me up and get me going, or a steep downhill bit. But for the most part, it turned out to be easier than I expected.
Oh, easier than you expected. That's good news.
I don't know, because then I felt by the end, I felt like I hadn't challenged myself enough physically.
So there's an elusive sweet spot.
Yes.
That wasn't quite grasped.
No, but because I was really fortunate, because I didn't, the week after I left, it rained torrentially for like a whole week, but I had 21 days in Spain with no rain.
That's amazing. I was there for that rain. And it did not let up for 3 weeks. It was an indoor experience for me. I wasn't there to walk, but yeah, it was an indoor time.
You know, I was just really fortunate. It just happened that way. And then no blisters, no problems with my feet. I walked almost the whole way in sandals, actually, in walking sandals.
Okay.
I found my running shoes, my Hoka running shoes and socks were just too much. I don't like shoes and socks much. And after about 2 or 3 hours, I would take them off and just gratefully get into my sandals and walk. I got very dirty feet, but I love
I remember you saying that you don't like to wear shoes and socks. So those sandals worked out. That's perfect. It's such a reminder to do this your way.
Right. But on the other hand, I came home with all kinds of unopened things of things to treat blisters and whatever.
Okay. So that wasn't good money or space spent. Right. That's funny. Well, that's actually okay, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm going to save them for next time.
Okay. And then you'll probably end up giving them away to someone who needs them. All right. So next time, tell me about that.
I went doing this thing. This is going to be a once in a lifetime thing. I'm too old. I've got other things to do. I've got other trips to make. I've got a lot of people I want to see before I'm unable to see them for any reason, either my own disablement or something, or theirs. And I've attended too many funerals lately of people that I have wanted to see for many years and have not seen.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't think that I would do it again. And then somewhere I saw some pictures of the spiritual variant, and there's something calling me, I don't know, to Portugal to do something. So I am playing with the idea, God willing, and the creek don't rise, right? I'm playing with the idea of maybe in 2025 for my 80th birthday of going over in the spring and doing maybe Porto and including the spiritual variant. I've got to look a little bit more because I want to do the coastal, but I think the spiritual goes off the central. I got to sort that out a little bit. But.
Well, yeah, that's sort of a tricky thing on the Portuguese. I have also been looking at that as a possible next trip. And it's interesting to look at the map and see how it goes all these different directions and how to choose which route to take and why.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation to have, I think.
Right. And besides the fact that the photographs are calling me in some way, I'm feeling, as I said, like I could have been more challenged physically. It could have been more of a pilgrimage in that sense. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, it was fantastic. It was just absolutely more than I could have imagined.
Will you talk a bit about that? Why that is?
Yes, I can. So emotionally, so I went alone. I was prepared to walk alone. I expected that because I walked slowly that people would be coming up, saying a few words and then moving on. You know, it would be very casual encounters. The very first day I was at breakfast in the hotel. I stayed in hotels the whole time because I feel a little too old to do the hostel thing. But that may change too. But anyway, the very first day, there were these two women who were in the elevator, waiting for the elevator at the same time I was coming out of breakfast. And we were just going to our rooms to collect our stuff and start the walk. And we started talking. And one of them said, oh, I've just gotten out of the hospital and I came with my friend and I'm not really able to walk. And she's afraid to walk alone. Will you walk with her? So I said, okay. All right. But I walk really slowly, you know, it doesn't matter. So it turned out to be two women from the Philippines. And in fact, the one who had been in the hospital did walk with us on a few days, but we walked together the first 5 days. And then I had a rest day and then they moved on. And I'm still in touch with them. We made really good friends. We, you know, quite a deep connection there because you have a lot of time to talk. And I'm a storyteller. So I told stories about my life and they laughed. You know?
Oh, I bet that was just wonderful.
So that was great. And then I had a rest day in Melide. Melide, is that how you say it? Melide?
Melide.
Melide. And I didn't like Melide very much. I thought it was just a really busy city, you know, and I didn't really need a rest day as it turned out, although I did get my laundry done, which was good. And so everyone I knew that I had met, people I'd been encountering, and there were a lot, had moved on. Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of starting again on day six, and I walked alone most of that day, but about mid-afternoon, someone came up and started walking along with me. And it turned out she was walking with a friend who would walk ahead and then wait for her. And they were two women from Maryland. And I walked with them for the next 2.5 days until their schedule. I had a short day. They were doing it in 9 days and I was doing it in 10 days. And then they had to move on. But I got to have dinner with them in Santiago before we left. And in fact, I just visited one of them in Maryland a couple of weeks ago. So.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, so that's good. And so emotionally, it was fabulous. I was never really down. I enjoyed walking alone. I enjoyed walking. I think I walked alone about 2.5 days of the whole 10 days. But people would stop and talk. Young women took me under their wing and saw me up hills. And you know, it was lovely. Mentally, I was a pretty happy person the whole time. And spiritually, I walked every day with a spiritual intention to pray with and for something. The first was gratitude. The first day was gratitude because I had not been well for about 9 months before. I think we talked about that the first time. And I had been walking with a cane and so on, which had just miraculously, all that stuff had gone away. And so that was gratitude. And then I walked another day. I was going to walk for my partner, who was my high school boyfriend, who didn't think I could do it, by the way. But my husband my late husband kept coming up in that time too. And so I walked for them.
Mm.
It was really interesting how the Camino, on a day, every day that I had thought, well, this would be my intention for today, it brought me memories or experiences or people that got me talking about the thing, not, I wasn't thinking about the intention then really, but it kept coming up. So by the end of the day, I could see how that was working. And that felt a little magical and mystical. So spiritually, it was really good. And then when I got to Santiago, I think I mentioned this to you, I felt very little. I didn't feel anything. I came in alone. I didn't feel any excitement or joy or anything. I just felt really, really flat and kind of numb. I think because A, I wasn't with anyone else, and B, it hadn't been a hard enough journey for me to feel this great triumph.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I was in Santiago for a couple of days and I was doing some tours and things, and I didn't get to the cathedral for mass till the very last night that I was in Santiago. And the, what do you call it? The Botafumeiro or something?
Botafumeiro.
Botafumeiro. The Botafumeiro swung and it was fabulous.
Oh, wow. So that's the giant incense burner in the cathedral, in case anyone doesn't know. I think most of my listeners will know what that is, though. So this is really interesting. When you talk about arriving in Santiago and not feeling that sense of triumph, If you could go back and do that again, how would you set up your itinerary?
I would go for longer. I would start out a little further, maybe not Saint-Jean, you know, but maybe I would start a little further. I'm thinking if I do it again, the Porto to Lisbon, I think is about 210 kilometers or something. I mean, I guess it depends which route you take.
It does. Yes, it does.
I think what I was looking at, I think I saw it as 210, which is almost double. Mm-hmm. So I would do that. Secondly, I'm not going to carry everything on my back, but I think I would not book everything in advance. Mm. Maybe I would book it in advance a week out or a few days out or something, but that would leave a little more room for some spontaneity. Mm-hmm. And that means that I would have to be open to maybe not finding a hotel room, and maybe I would be in an albergue and they could listen to me snore.
I wish people could have seen your face when you said the word albergue. It's a different experience for sure.
Well, I have sleep apnea and I would not be carrying a CPAP machine, and it just would be awful for other people and not so good for my brain cells.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be doing the soundtrack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the things I would do. One thing I was really, really glad about, though, and I'll mention, because I booked with a company and they book things, and I would do the booking myself. I didn't know you could just kind of wing it when I signed up for this. But I think one thing that I was really glad that I did was I didn't have dinners included in my package. And I think the company I went with didn't offer that, but I know that many other companies did. And I met a lot of people who booked. Practically everyone I walked with was just doing Saria to Santiago. And they had all, I think I met everybody had booked with companies, and a lot of them had dinners included. And the dinners weren't till 7 and 8 o'clock at night. Well, you know, I walked from 8:30 or 9 in the morning when the sun was up. And I walked from when the sun was up. I didn't have to worry about would there be a spot for me, because I had a reservation. So I just had to make it to the next place. That was good. But I would get there, you know, around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and I'd either go to the hotel and then go out, or I would just go and eat some lunch and then go to the hotel room. And then I was in, I was done. And I didn't eat dinner very often. That worked really well for me.
Yeah. And that's the rhythm of the Spanish day. That's what the Spaniards do. They have their big meal in the middle of the day, and at restaurants, it's served roughly from 1:30 in the afternoon till 4 in the afternoon. And then they don't worry about dinner again until 9 o'clock. So 7 to 8 is early by Spanish standards.
Right.
And it's usually a lighter affair than a Spanish lunch. So I'm with you. That's my favorite way to do it, is to finish up by 1 or 2, quick shower, and then go eat the main meal of the day.
I think some of the people that I did meet, met some lovely Australian people who were with a big group, and some of the restaurants they were in looked fantastic, and the meals looked better than anything I found. I didn't have a lot of great meals, I must say.
Okay.
I think people talk about Spanish meals, and I didn't have a lot of great ones. The best ones I had were Italian or French.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And a little pro tip, the best meals are in the cities. You go into the cities and you've got a greater selection. And then you've got the places where the Spanish people go out to eat. And those are the ones you want to look for. The pilgrims' menus or the menu de peregrino are all along the trail, but those are not necessarily the best tasting, satisfying cuisine. They nourish you, but they're not going to be a meal that you talk about for years.
No, I only had one or two of those in the evenings, and they weren't great. I did try the octopus.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yuck.
That's what I thought too. I figure more for everyone else.
I eat lots of various seafood and things. And I did hear someone that I was trying it with said that she had also, she didn't like it either when we had it. We had it in Melide and she didn't like it either. But she said she had had some deep fried octopus done like French fries.
Uh-huh.
Breaded, you know, and that they were delicious. And I would try that.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So I love these reflections. I love looking back and using hindsight to think about the future and what you might do differently. But the interesting thing is you couldn't have known any of this until you got there.
No, absolutely not. And who would know I didn't need a rest in? Who would know I wouldn't have any things on my feet that I needed to take care of or any other, you know, indispositions of any kind?
Yeah.
So I was happy in one way that it turned out to be physically easier than I thought. And don't get me wrong, on the third day, I was walking from Puerto Marín to Ventas de Narón.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing like the Pyrenees, but that last bit was pretty uphill. And it was hot. It was over 32 degrees. So 32 or 33. I mean, I had really warm weather in early October.
Yes, that's hot. Celsius, that's hot. 90s.
I only wore long pants one day, the very first morning of walking, and they were off by 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was in skorts and shorts the whole time.
Okay.
And anyway, but I was trudging up this hill and I wasn't sure I was going to make it. And I was panting and I was red faced and panting. But I just kept saying, pilgrims have done this for hundreds of years. Pilgrims have done this for hundreds of years. Pilgrims have done, and I'd walk in tune as I did. Pilgrims have done this in hundreds of years.
You found your cadence.
Yeah, I got there. And that was the only time that it felt a bit challenging. Then there was a really steep downhill one day, but that was kind of fun to do.
Oh, okay. Well, see, and that's the thing. We find our rhythm, we find our cadence, and we take it one step at a time.
And then one day I got off the trail and got lost.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, I didn't really get lost. But, so they say that that's really crowded from Sarria to Santiago. Oh, it's so crowded. Well, I was walking alone and everyone else. In the mornings, it would be kind of crowded. There'd be lots of people, but then everyone went really fast. And then I had a period of time in the day where the people who started way behind me hadn't caught up to me yet. So I was just walking alone for, you know, likely people were around within 20 minutes, but I would have these periods of time for 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know, where there was nobody ahead of me and nobody behind me. And that was fine with me. I was going along. And I came to this spot and I saw the sign that said, turn left, you know, and I did. And I'm walking along this road and I don't see anyone, but there hadn't been anyone for a while. And then I came to a great big highway and I was on a passageway over a big highway and there was no apparently trails and there were no signs. And I thought, I'm off track here. I'd walked for about 10 minutes, maybe, or since that time. And so I got out my Wise Pilgrim app on my phone and looked up where I was and it went, oh yeah, sure, you're right off the trail here, honey. So I turned around and I started walking back. But even these funny experiences can be fine because a police car came along as it happened and it's only spoke Spanish. And I said, I know, I'm off the trail. I'm on my way back. And they said, yeah, you've got to go back. But we were talking different languages. And so I walked back. And when I got back there, they were there waiting to make sure they got on the trail. And it turned out that what I had done wrong was the trail did go to the left, but it went to the left down a trail that kind of angled down. And I hadn't walked across the road to look at the sign because it was pointing left. I just turned left onto the road.
Ah.
I lost maybe half an hour at most, you know, and it was a really nice experience because the policemen were so sweet.
See, and that's it. I think it's so important to understand this, what you just described, is, first of all, it's not in anybody's best interest that a pilgrim gets off the trail. The local people have an eye out for us and will get us back where we're supposed to be.
Right.
And then the other thing is, I always like to remind people, if you haven't seen a trail marker in about 15 minutes, 20, 30 at the very most, it's time to ask where you are and ask if you're off the trail. You did exactly the right thing by stopping after about 10 minutes and questioning.
Yeah. Well, when I got to this highway and then the roads, it clearly wasn't really a trail. It was like footpaths, not a big 4-lane highway. I went, no, this can't be it.
Well, see, and there's another thing that I want to point out. You had been on the trail for a couple of days by that point.
Oh, by this time. Yeah. I was in day 7 or 8.
Yeah. So here's what happens. When you first get there, you're like, okay, I'm scared I'm going to get lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know what the trail markers look like or where they're positioned. But after a couple of days on the trail, you start to really get a sense of how it's set up and how the trail is marked. And you build this capacity or this facility with navigation that you didn't have before, because we're not doing it the way we do our driving around town stuff. You actually have to pay close attention at all times for those trail markers, and you build it like a muscle.
Yeah. One other time, a German couple hollered at me as I turned the wrong, looking right at a marker that said turn right, and I turned left. And I was only going to go up someone's driveway. It wasn't going to be awful.
You wouldn't be too far off, but look, a pretty flower.
Yeah, they gave me a little shout, and I went, oh, yeah, okay. So
it does sound like it was a good experience for you. I'm really happy to hear.
It was wonderful. And the thing that I really loved the most, I think, was the simplicity of the days.
Mm.
That was the good thing about having booked ahead and having my luggage sent. I mean, I wasn't overburdened with things I had to carry, although I carried rain gear that I never needed. I also carried a package of things for emergencies in case I had to go in a field. And once I did, and that was not a pretty sight, we're not telling that story. But having that emergency kit absolutely worked. But what I really loved was the simplicity of it. You get up in the morning, you go for breakfast, you pick up your gear, away you go. All you have to do is walk. You know, you don't have to think about very much. And if you meet people along the way, it's great. And if you don't, it's great. And the scenery is gorgeous. And, you know, it was just really peaceful. Mm-hmm. I have ADHD. So my inside my brain is, I've got really good management. So I keep things really in order around me. But inside my brain is always a tumult of things going on. And daily life is like that for anyone. We've always got multiple choices to make in every day about things to do and what decision to make and what should I do next and so on. And you don't have that on the trail.
Mm.
On the Camino, you just walk and you know where you're going and you walk and you think, oh, do I need toilet facilities? Okay, I need to find those. Or do I need to buy some water or some Aquarius? I loved Aquarius, by the way. So good. Or do I, you know, am I hungry? Do I need to stop and eat something? But basically, you just walk. And so it's a really simple day. My evenings were not as simple because I wrote very long, voluminous posts about my day, detailed posts about my day on Facebook and on a website where you can get a book made. And I just haven't gone back to edit those entries so that I can have a book made. I'm a former English teacher. I don't want the typos that came in my nightly, you know, doing it on the phone things.
Yes.
I wrote these daily posts, which people loved and I loved. And I talked to my partner every evening. If I were doing it again, though, I might go right off social media and just let him be able to see me by location and not really talk so that it would be somewhat more introspective. Having said that, I am really happy that I have those really detailed accounts of everyone I met and everything I did and everything I ate and what the day was like and what the weather was like and, you know, every little adventure that happened during the day.
Oh, that's definitely two sides of a coin there in how you experience the Camino.
Yeah.
And I can certainly see why having that record, you won't regret that, will you?
No, I won't. And I will sometime as soon as I stop traveling and doing other things, I will sit down and get those things edited and make it into a book so that I can look at when I'm in the old age home, you know?
Perfect. Lots of photos, I hope.
Yes, lots.
Perfect. Now, I did want to ask you one more question about this, and then we're going to talk about what you've done since the Camino.
Okay.
Do you feel that you missed out on any part of the Camino experience by staying in hotels rather than the albergues?
Well, given that I didn't stay in the albergues, I can't exactly tell. It's like I'm an only child, so I don't know if I missed out by not having siblings. You know,
that's a great analogy.
But I had, I mean, I made several quite good friends in very brief encounters, like a few hours or a few days, that I'm still in touch with, especially the two women from the Philippines and the two women from Maryland that I walked with, but several others, a woman from Australia, another couple from the US, and they're Facebook friends now, and we correspond a little bit, and we do some video, you know, some FaceTime here and there, maybe. So I found people. Did I ever have like a big group dinner? No. On the other hand, I hate cooking, so I was happy not to have to do that. So I likely did miss out on some things. I think the spontaneity of being able to just say, oh, my friends are going here, I'll go there too, or that kind of thing, that likely was a miss, but it was made up for by the fact that every night I knew I had a room to stay in and I had peace and quiet and I could recuperate from all the socializing that I did all day.
Yeah, that's a great point.
If I were 20 in my 20s, I'd do the albergues, no issue.
Yeah, I understand that sentiment there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you've been doing since the Camino. You've been a bit busy.
I have. So I came back in October, middle of October. I did some sightseeing in Madrid before I went on the Camino, and then I did 2 days in Santiago afterward. Oh, just let me say, another thing that I did that was really useful that I did right was I never booked anything where I had to make a quick transfer between flights or anything. I flew to Madrid and then I stayed there 3 days and then I got a train to Sarria. And then when I came back, I flew from Santiago back to Madrid and I stayed overnight in Madrid. I mean, I had the budget that I could do that. Mm-hmm. And younger people or other people might not. Mm-hmm. But that really took away a lot of stress because we were almost every flight I was on was late and several hours late and people were panicking and I didn't have to.
Oh, isn't that a nice feeling?
Yeah. So sorry. Now where were we?
You were talking about what you did after.
Well, what happened when I came back? So I came back in the middle of October. In November, I went, and this had been planned before I left. I went to Honduras with part of a church group on a church brigade. My partner and I went to Honduras. There were 11 of us that went, and I had been once before in 2019. So this wasn't a new thing, but then the pandemic and then my illness, pandemic had stopped me for 2 years. And then in 2022, I couldn't go because I wasn't well. But so we went to Honduras and we went to a children's village, an orphanage kind of thing, except that many of the children actually have parents, family somewhere. And we did building work. We painted and refurbished one of their buildings for 11 days. That was a bit more of a challenge, actually, because of the 11 of us, 9 of us got ill with one thing or another. And I came back with COVID, which wasn't really fun. All of us got COVID. My partner did not, luckily, but he ended up in the hospital there with an intestinal bug. So,
oh, goodness.
That was quite the challenge. And they'd never had that many people get ill before on a brigade. So that wasn't great, but we did that for 12 days or something. And then I came back and then we had, I became a great grandmother in December.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yes. One of my grandsons and his partner had a baby in the middle of December. So we had postponed family Christmas till into January so that we could all meet the baby who wasn't expected till the end of December, but came in the middle of December. My partner and I were up in Ottawa, Ontario for that. And then 2 weeks after that, the end of January, I left on what I called the Before It's Too Late tour. Gord, my partner, and I were supposed to be in Portugal for a month in February, and we had booked a place. And But because he had been so ill and he was still getting over the illness, like 2 months later, we had to cancel that. And so I said, okay, there are a lot of people I need to see in this world before I can't travel anymore, before they're not around or able to see me. So I set off, and I don't like winter much. So I drove to Florida on my own, and I went to, so I spent 25 days in the US. I drove 4,265 miles. That's over 6,800 kilometers. And I went through 12 states. I saw 32 people in 8 states.
Wow.
Sometimes it was lunch with one person and dinner with someone else. Sometimes I stayed several days with people, or overnight or whatever, including one of the people that I walked with on the Camino from Maryland. So it was really great. I got a lot of people. I've got a huge list of people I want to see around the world. And I ticked off 32 of them. So
something tells me that it's not going to be too late for you for a little bit longer.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping.
I just want to review. 78 years old, 28-day road trip, 4,000 plus miles, all over 12 states. Come on.
I had some scary moments, but you know what? That felt like a pilgrimage too.
Oh.
That did. That felt like something my soul needed to do.
Oh.
And I'm hoping in the fall, in August, September, to go to England and France to do the same thing. My late husband and I had lived in France for 2 years in the 1990s. And I still have friends there, and I haven't been back for 12 years now, I guess, 13 years, something like that. So I would like to see them this year too, those friends in France and England. And my partner doesn't know any of these people and isn't really interested in meeting, 40 new people. So
these are your people, and you'll go see them.
Yeah, I'll go see them.
Yeah, it's so inspiring to hear this. I want to just say, it's not over till it's over.
Yeah. I've heard friends keep saying, you got to keep living till you die.
Yeah. I love that.
So I pray that I have a long more of that to do.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm home for the summer and just going to enjoy my twice weekly line dancing and my twice weekly cardio and seeing my friends and going out in our boat and, golfing. I don't know, whatever the summer brings.
There you have it. Thanks for the example that you're setting.
Well, thank you for your podcast. They helped me a lot in preparing for the first Camino. And I'm going to be listening to more of them now. I took a little break, but I'm going to be listening to more of them now too. And I'm reading The Art of Pilgrimage. Is that what it's called?
Yes. I love that book.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of pondering about pilgrimage and what that means. Not only in terms of a Camino, but in terms of these other ways to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you come across the episode with Dr. Edward Fulyun on the spiritual practice of pilgrimage? It's in season 4, episode 3, but I'll put it in the show notes as a
I'm
link.
Only on episode 2 of season 4.
Okay. You're coming to it then. Yeah. So Dr. Edward is the minister at my church, and he and I had just I just loved this conversation.
I did hear that. I remember now. I just didn't the name. Yes.
I love the conversation around pilgrimage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very helpful too. And reading the book, I'm trying to think more deeply about that. But I don't know that that going on the Camino has changed me. Mm-hmm. But it has made me feel happy. I'm just very happy. I'm just really, really happy. Not that I wasn't happy before, but I'm really, really, really happy.
More.
And I feel like I'm living my purpose at this point.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So to wrap this up, how about, do you have any advice for first-time pilgrims?
Go. Just go.
Yeah.
Plan as much as you need to plan, but not too much. Don't listen to too many naysayers, Figure out what would be your Camino. Do it in a way that takes you a bit outside your comfort zone, but know what your limitations are too, and then just work with that. But go. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. And maybe don't wait. Go now.
Oh, wait, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I say to people when they say, "Oh, I want to do that someday." Yeah, that sounds like such a cool thing. I say, "You know what? Planes go there every day. Get on one."
Yeah. And because the Camino is something you can do on almost any budget. I saw people on the Camino sitting there with a little tin cup saying, please help me go on my Camino. No, I don't know if they were really walking or not, but.
All kinds of budgets. Yeah, all kinds.
And lots of students and young people and everything. So it's obviously, and I read the posts about what people spend in a day, and it's obviously possible to do it on quite a modest budget. That the issue is having the time to do it. But often young people have periods of time when they can go before they have too many responsibilities.
Yeah. So if it's calling to you, if you have heard that call, it's time to go. Very good.
And you're going again soon, aren't you?
I am. I'm leading a group in May. I've got 10 pilgrims who I'm getting started. And we start walking on May 12th from Saint-Jean-Pied-du-Port. And then I have another group in September. And I've got space in that September group. So anybody who is looking for that in-between spot, not plan out every step, but actually do it yourself with some help. That's the group to join. Yeah.
You'll be a great guide for that. If I were
Thank you.
younger, I would try it from Saint John. I would love,
Yeah.
but not now, I don't think.
Okay. Well, you'll know. You'll know if that changes or if that's time.
Maybe on my 90th birthday, right?
Well, you know, maybe the naysayer you're gonna silence is yourself.
I really feel drawn to doing something from Porto,
Sure.
the spiritual variant. I don't know what it was about that. Photos I saw, I know it's only a couple or 3 days, well, it'll be longer for me, but that spiritual part. But
You'll find out and then you'll come back and tell us.
yeah, okay.
Judith, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I'm so happy we got to hear how it went.
Thank you, Nancy, for having me. It's been a joy and a pleasure.
Excellent. All right. I'll look forward to the next conversation, Judith. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.